please, and turn to Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16. 24, verse 16. Proverbs 24, verse 16. If you can stand, we'd like to stand to show your honor to the Word of God. Thank God for the Bible. Brother Rick was really excited that I didn't have my iPad tonight. So he knows how much I'm going to preach about that much. Amen. All right. Proverbs 24:16. Let's read it together. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Let's read that again, please. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Let's read it again. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Let's read it again. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. May God have the blessing on the Word of God as we have read tonight. Let's pray. Father, I ask you, Lord Jesus, you'd help us tonight. There's a lot of people that are quitting. There's a lot of people giving up. A lot of people out there tonight that all across this world that just feel like it's not worth it anymore. Dear God, help us to realize how important it is to keep going. Help us to realize how important it is to not to quit. And help us, Lord Jesus, just to show ourselves faithful to you. Lord, help us to be just. Help us to live by justice. And Lord, help us to just to do right in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the roads you're trotting seem still uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, and every one of us sometime learns, and many a failure turned about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You might succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tin of the cloud of doubt. You never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight, and when you're hardest hit, it's when things seem worse that you mustn't quit. A man asked, after many failures, why he never seemed discouraged or depressed over championing for an unpopular fight. He explained, duty is ours, results are God's. That happened to be John Quincy Adams. I think that we go through life expecting too much out of it. We go through life sometimes thinking that everything is easy. As young people getting out of high school, think, hey, this world deserves me, amen. I deserve a living. I like what one person had on a bumper sticker. It says, the president isn't your daddy. And then underneath it said government. We are destined to work. God said when man sinned that man would live by the sweat of his brow. It is work. It's hard work. It doesn't end. There's a saying down in the Dominican Republic that says this: you work hard and then you die. That's their statement. You work hard and then you die. You know, let me ask you this. When you work hard, you know you feel good when you go to sleep. If you just hang around and do nothing and expect everybody else to give you what you want and expect everybody else to take care of everything you have to do, I'm going to tell you something. After a while, it doesn't work very well, because after a while, those people get tired of taking care of you. And there's just so much you can do. And may I also say, there's just so much you can take. And I want to talk to you today about quitting. I want you to quit quitting. I want you to stop whining and complaining. I want you to get at that job you've been given and take it by the horns and just make it squeal. Amen. I want you to just get a hold of something to say, you know what? I'm not quitting at this. That little poem I read to you, when I was just a young preacher, I was getting tired of some of the things that were going on. I was just a young preacher. I mean, I was into it about a year. And I saw some inconsistencies. I saw some people that I thought Christians should never act like. I saw some people that I never thought that they would ever act like that. I'd seen people that give their life and give their money and give everything they had to help some people. And then to see those people, the same people that had taken so much, turn right around and not help others who needed the help. And that really bothered me. I thought that there was something called loyalty. I thought there was something that you do as much as you can when you can, and you help everybody else you can, and then it'll turn around. Whatsoever a man sows reaps. I always thought that, you know what, boy, you help people and do this for them and do that for them, and boy, you just do that. And I realized after I read the scripture for a while, and my cousin who sent me that poem, I realized that that's not the way it works. But I also realize, in reality, at the end of life, God says, I will take care of you. You take care of the job that I've given you, and I'll take care of you. You stick to the fight. You stick to the battle. You don't go chasing off here and chasing off there, like Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to preach on not chasing possums, amen. Not old possum, possums, amen. You ain't supposed to chase possums, amen. And he talks about a good rabbit dog. And the good rabbit dog started chasing possum. He said, that old dog ain't worth nothing. Ain't even worth feeding anymore. He's out chasing possums to chase the rabbits he's supposed to chase, amen. And a lot of Christians, you find them. Boy, they're good rabbits. They're good. They trail rabbits pretty good, and all of a sudden they get the smell of a possum, and all of a sudden start chasing that. And you wonder, where in the world are they going? What in the world are they doing? Hey, get back in here. Let's do what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. And so I want to talk to you about how not to quit. Number one, the best way not to quit is remember your salvation. As a Christian, you don't quit when you start remembering the day that you received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the greatest thing that will ever happen to you in your life. When you realize that you're a sinner and you need a great Savior, and there's no way out of this world without Jesus Christ, and you realize that you have got to have a Savior. You can't do it yourself. And there you fall on your face before God and say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I'll tell you my story. Growing up at Hope Baptist Church, Hope, Michigan, I had every opportunity to know and to hear a clear presentation of the gospel without question. I was exposed to great preachers and teachers and even men across the country that hear them preach. Our kids at our church went to summer camps, and we had great vacation Bible school, and our church had evangelistic meetings in the spring and evangelistic meetings in the fall. We had missionary meetings. We had round robin missionary meetings where up to 8 to 10 missionaries would come to our church, and they would preach night after night after night after night. In fact, I can recall when I was in third or maybe it was fourth grade that my pastor, Dwayne Lindsay, asked an evangelist to come for a couple week meetings in our church. And while the pastor invited everybody in town, of course, he went down to the school, invited the public school to come down to our church for an afternoon to listen to an evangelist meet. Can you imagine that? Many of the public school children were saved at that meeting. It was a powerful thing. I remember we went from the Hope Public School, it was a three-room school, and we walked all the way down to our church, Hope Baptist Church, about a half mile. And we went into the church and filled that old church up. And that old preacher reared back, and I mean, he shucked the corn, he plowed the sod, I mean, he beat the hay, I mean, boy, he let her rip. And about every one of those kids from that school accepted Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, that day. Our church was involved in children's Bible hour with Aunt Bee and Uncle Charlie and the broadcast out of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Uncle Charlie came to our church and some of the children, Bible hour kids, and they came over to our house for dinner. Boy, what a time we had. We went to Youth for Christ and attended the youth rallies. That was back when Youth for Christ was straight on, fundamental, amen. The Bible was preached at all times at our church. Mission conferences, as I said, and revival meetings. And our church was a place where everybody could get saved. But for some reason, this little country boy wasn't paying much attention. I missed it. It wasn't until I was 14 years old and I went to the state youth statewide youth rally at Dr. Howard Sugden's Southside Baptist Church in East Lansing, Michigan at the last service on Saturday morning. That was the first time in my life I realized I was a sinner. I realized I was a great sinner. And I realized I needed a great Savior. And I was on my way to hell. And it seemed though that old preacher must have talked to my mama, must have talked to my daddy just before he got up to preach. He said, I don't care if your mama's a Sunday school teacher, goes to all the Women's Missionary Society meetings, and she's the godliest woman in the world. It doesn't matter if your daddy's a fine man and works hard and a great man and is a deacon and a good father. If you don't ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and ask Him to come be your personal Savior, He pointed that great big old bony finger at me and pointed and said, right there, yes you will, yes you will, yes you will, you'll split hell wide open. Well, whether or not I heard that message before, I heard it then, amen. And to make matters worse, I was 14, I was sitting in the back row, there was 2,000 kids there, and my mother was sitting next to me. The Lord seemed to be telling me, son, this is the last time I'm going to let you hear this. I mean, it scared me to death. And when the preacher started the invitation, before the organist could get even on that seat of that organ, I headed down the altar to confess my sin and accept Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. Let me tell you, on a little secret of Christian life. When you're about to quit, you need to think back on how you are wonderfully saved. When you're about to quit, you need to realize how He found you and saved you from your despicable and hateful life of sin and degradation. Therefore, you can't quit. You have to keep on going for all He has done for you. Think of that song, oh, how He loves you and me. Oh, how He loves you and me. He gave His life. What more could He give? Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves you. Oh, how He loves you and me. My goodness, many times I'll go and do some work for the sheriff's office, and I have been told about the family, and they know not Jesus. They have no church, they have no priest, they have no bishop, they have no pastor, they have no preacher. It is the saddest job in the world when you go to something like that. no hope. They sorrow. They weep. They're anguish. They lash out. Isn't it amazing how they get mad at God and they didn't believe God in the first place? Why are you cursing God? You don't even believe there is a God. Why are you mad at God? You say there's no God. Why don't you get mad at your refrigerator or the fence post or the cow outside? You might as well know different than that, amen? Unfortunately, I got away from the Lord when I was in high school. I ran around with a rough and wrong crowd. There were some of the Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10 through 19 kids and Solomon was talking about. Let me tell you something. You get away from your church and get away from your family that keeps you going, amen. You're going to be in trouble, yes you are, unless you stay close to Jesus Christ. You boys in the military, you know what it's like. You can serve the Lord or you don't serve the Lord. They're going to make fun of you no matter what, amen. So you might as well have something to be made fun of, amen. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and the whole, as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way of them. Refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privately for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy for gain, which taketh away life of his owner. I think that the fellows that I used to run with were tough, like Rehoboam talked about his buddies. 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 17. If I was you, I'd write this down if you're a daddy. 2 Chronicles 13, 7. And there are gathered unto him vain men, the children of Belial, and have strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tenderhearted and could not withstand them. You run with all wrong guys, I'll tell you what, after a while they'll get to you. Later you'll grow up and you'll say, I don't care what you do, I'm not going that way. But before then, you do what we call chicken to get away from them. So, well, I won't have any friends. Oh, yes, you will have friends. Best to have no friends than bad friends, amen? 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, the last part, it says, just lot best with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelleth among them, and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. And what happened to him? He was destroyed. Second thing, not only remember your salvation, is remembering that Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep and all things continue as were from the beginning of creation, For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standeth out of the water, and in the waters, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, the flood. But the heaven and earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt in fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for the hastening unto the coming of the day of the God, wherein the heaven being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth. Listen to this. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. I'm looking for that. God said, I'm going to take care of this whole thing. I'm going to dissolve this earth and the heavens. And I'm going to make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Someone said, preacher, why do you think God is going to destroy the heaven and the earth? Well, this earth has been tainted. The heavens have been tainted. The heavens were tainted first. You remember? Satan. Satan wanted to have his way. And God cast him out of heaven, along with a third of the angels. So the heavens have been tainted. And then the earth. Serpent, Satan came and talked to Eve. And talked her into eating that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And she took. And she ate. And man ate. And God cursed this earth. And God is going to destroy this old earth. And going to destroy the heavens and make some brand new ones. And you know what? When you destroy something, there's no remembrance. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said He's going to give us a new mind. And everything's going to be new. And I'm not going to remember the bad stuff that I did. And you're not going to remember the bad stuff you did. And all God's people ought to say, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The world says, where is this promise of His coming? This is the only sample question raised by these mockers. The Lord said, Peter had mentioned this subject and faced squarely. He said, for we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. We saw Him. We saw Him do His things and authenticate Himself. I'm telling you, we saw Him, and what He says, His name is truth. Peter, like Paul, preached the second coming in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him. It's coming. We see people that kind of poo-poo it all. But I don't know about you, but bless God, every time I pick up that newspaper, it's like reading Ezekiel or Matthew or Revelation or Daniel. Some incredible things. Incredible things are happening in this world. Things that we as Americans do not believe that are really happening to us. What do you mean? We have our Constitution. We don't care about the Constitution. And on and on and on. But you know what? There's something greater than that. His name is God. He's going to take care of us. He's going to supply our needs. He's going to get us through this thing. It may be He's going to take us home. That's all right with me. I like what John said, man. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Amen. But the heaven and earth, which are now the same word, are kept in store, reserved to fire against the day of judgment, perdition, the godly man. He is coming. And you and I had better be ready, or you'll have the mocker. But He is coming. You can mock all you want. This is what keeps me from quitting. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming soon. I better keep my room straight. I better keep my mind right. Amen. I better keep my life walking for God. Amen. Number three. I think this is one of the greatest ones. It's what keeps me from quitting. It's not only salvation, but the second coming of Jesus Christ. But it's heaven. It's heaven. Remembering heaven. Hey! Remembering heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to heaven someday. A place that's perfect. A place that's great. Oh, a few years before entering the homeland, Dwight L. Moody caught a glimpse of glory awaiting him. Awaking from sleep, he said, "Earth recedes. Heaven opens before me. If this is death, it is sweet. There is no valley here. God is calling me. I must go." This is just before Dwight Moody died. And his son, who was standing by his bedside, "No, no, no, Father. You're dreaming." "No," said Moody. "I'm not dreaming. I have been within the gates, and I've seen the children's face. And a short time elapsed, and then following what seemed to the family the death struggle, he spoke once again. This is my triumph. This is my coronation day. It is glorious." He's gone. Hey, man. I've talked to some preachers, been around some people that, you know, they're good Christian people, good old saints of God. He said, "I'm telling you, I was standing there and it just seemed like a holy rush came in and was gone." I'm telling you, heaven is real. Don't you let some of these people poo-poo all your information that you have from the Word of God. It's real. It's real. Yes, it's real. Amen. Man, heaven's real. Buddy, when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, and you can't hardly stand it, all of a sudden there comes a calm, there comes a peace. And you can say, "What's wrong with heaven?" Or John Rice says, "You can't scare me with heaven." You see, if we only realize that all that we do is going to be rewarded, we'll think of heaven. I've quoted this a million times. You're about to hear it again. "Let not your heart be troubled." You know, it means something more to me every time I quote it and read it. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Listen now. Listen. Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." If it were not so, I would have told you. Hey, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know. No way, you know. Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How do we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I love that. You know what I love? I am the life. It's not death, it's life. When somebody tells me the old Sheldon, when somebody tells you the Sheldon Shear died, he said, "No, he didn't die. He just went to his other place." I didn't die. Bernie Sanders this morning, she didn't die. She's more alive today than she ever was. Amen. She's more alive today than she ever was. Don't kid yourself. "Oh, I'm going to die." No, you're not. You're going to live. I told one of the girls this morning, I said, Listen to me. We're just going through this for a little bit. Maybe some of it takes you 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, but that's only a few years compared to Jesus Christ's time. Eternity. This is just testing time. I don't know about you. I'm glad I'm out of school. I don't know who I was talking to the other day. And I said, "I love school." And he said, "Not me." "Not me, man. I'm glad I'm out of school." How many glad you're out of school? How many wish you were still in school? Well, guess what? You are. And you're not doing very good at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house, this thing right here, of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. Hebrews 11:10. For we look for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11:16. But know they desire a better. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to call, be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Verse 21, and him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down at my Father's in his throne. Revelation 21 and verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit in a great high mountain. He showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light is like the stone most precious, even like jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a great wall and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the walls of the city were 12 foundations. In them are the name of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed and measured the city and the gates thereof and the walls thereof. And the city lieth 4 square and the length as large as the breadth, and measured the city of the reed in 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height are equal. And they measured the wall thereof in 144 cubits according to the measure of a man. A cubic, take the top middle finger. And down to the bottom, it's 18 inches. That's a cubic. And you just kind of figure that out there, amen. And the building of the wall of it was jasper. And the city of pure gold, like unto clear glass. Scientists tell us that the more you clean gold, and you keep going, cleaning it up, cleaning it up, cleaning it up, cleaning it up, burning it, burning it, burning it, it will turn clear as crystal. You can see through it. The foundation of the wall. Somebody said, where are you going to get all that wool? Where are you going to get all gold? They say one out of 5,000ths of the water in the ocean is gold. He can make it. He just calls it up. All right, boys, bring me over some gold, amen. The foundation of the wall of the city were garnished in the manner of the precious stones. The first foundation of jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh crystallite, the eighth braille, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst, and the 12 gates of the 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need for sun, neither the moon nor shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them that were saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut all day, for there is no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the book of life. So we have salvation keeps me from quitting. And the second coming keeps from quitting. And heaven keeps me from quitting. And I think the fourth one keeps me from quitting is disappointment. Disappointment. I do not want to disappoint people. There's a lot of disappointments today in Christianity. People have no idea how someone can disappoint someone else. Some little snide remark, some little snotty attitude, some little meanness, some little quirk disappoints people. Well, why weren't you in church Sunday night? Oh, I don't know. Ball game. Oh, I don't know. Used to be Bonanza. Oh, I don't know. Just tired. Oh, I don't know. I think my kid is going to get sick in a couple days. Oh, I don't know. I've got big tests tomorrow. Oh, I don't know. I just think maybe I just need a break. That's disappointing. Well, I just don't know if I can make it to Sunday school this morning and disappoint 20 kids. I don't want to do that. I don't want to live a way that my children be disappointed in me. I know my kids are disappointed with me today. We had a restaurant appointment for my birthday at 11:54, one of my lieutenants called and said, "You got to help us." I didn't get the call because my phone was up in my office. When I got home, I got another frantic call. Looks on a deal. I had a bunch of missed calls. I thought to myself, I never want to disappoint my family, but I want to be true to my call. And would you listen to me? God is number one in my life. And I'll disappoint my family. God never seems to ever put me in that position to disappoint my family. But I'm going to tell you something. God is number one. And I ate my birthday dinner today alone. You say, "Oh, I feel sorry for you." Don't feel sorry for me. I was doing what I want to do. I was doing what God called me to do. I was doing what God allows me to do. And it disappoints sometimes people. People don't understand. I don't want to disappoint people. But you know what? I think I'd disappoint them more if I said, "Sorry, I won't do that. And I've got a birthday party schedule. I don't want my grandkid to say, you know what? Papa got a call from the lieutenant today and he just blew him off." I don't know about you, but if a member of your family was killed in a tragic car accident and you asked for somebody to go tell them about it, and nobody showed up, I think you'd be disappointed. sounds like don't care. You know what? I can always eat. And as you can see, I really don't have to eat. I could go on a fast for 30 days. You would even know what he meant. I just enjoy myself. Just drink water. But I don't want to disappoint people. I do. I do stupid stuff, say stupid stuff. Anytime you preach and say as many words as a preacher does, you're going to disappoint people. And they're not going to understand you. And they're not going to appreciate it. They don't get it. But you know what? They can do a million things stupid. I mean, dumber than dumb. And nobody calls them on it. I asked one guy on my birthday, maybe 15 years ago. He accused me of something. And I said to him, I said, I didn't do that. And he said, yes, you did. And I said, okay, if I did, I'm sorry. But I said, will you forgive me? He said, no, I ain't going to forgive you. I said, why not? He said, because preachers can't make mistakes. I wanted to laugh in his face. I can't make a mistake. I made a lot of mistakes. And a preacher can't make a mistake, you ain't going to have no preacher. Because your preacher's going to make mistakes. I figure, you know, I judge things. You know, this, so let's do this. I was telling one of my ladies in my church. She asked me a question, and I gave her counsel. I said, this is what I think you ought to do. This is what I think you ought to do. You're a preacher. Yeah, I think I ought to do. Because I had experienced something like it. I know something like it. I knew her husband. I knew this and I knew that. And I know that would be the best advice to give her. But we make mistakes once in a while. And if you live in my home, you come and say, I think you made a mistake. And hopefully the answer in my home is, I'm sorry. I don't think so. And they say, this is why. And then you say, I guess I did. Will you forgive me? And the answer always is, okay. And I never hear, but don't do it again. My wife and I ran in a grocery store last night. Ran in. We're out of eggs, man. We eat eggs at our house. And ran out of eggs. And ran in there and come out. And, excuse me. No, it wasn't with my wife. I was with myself just for a couple of minutes. I had a funeral, and then I went there. And I went in there, and I noticed these two little kids. They had these little carts at Van's IGA. Man, they're buzzing around there. And the mother yelling at them, and these kids are just pushing these carts. They didn't yell at them. They're good little kids. Yelling at them. I'm going to rip your head off. Put that. I want to go up and say, shut up. But I didn't. And they're right behind me. Guess what? They got right behind me in the counter. I love kids. And they're kids. And she takes the carts away from them and says, you'll never get to drive these carts again. Okay, lady. Lighten up. And they were real quiet. They walked out, you know, and they stood and watched. Come on, you kids. And they're waiting for her to allow. I mean, you know. And this is what she said. The way you act, I'll never take you to a grocery store again. And I wanted to say, you are a liar, lady. She said she was never going to take them to the grocery store. No wonder those kids act like that. They have no absolutes. Now, my mama said, I'm going to spank you. It was going to happen. If she said, get in line. And I didn't get in line. He says, now, son, I'm going to have to spank you when you get home if you don't get in line. I got in line. And I felt so sorry for these little kids. Hey, don't quit. Be forgiving. Life is so short. Life is so short. Death notification was made to a family. And the woman just broke down, weeping and crying. It's happened a long time ago. And the chaplain says, ma'am, is something wrong? She said, yes.
I just told him never come back again. How'd you like to live with that one? You watch what you say to these little ones. You watch what you say to your mom and daddy. You be careful. Be very careful. Hey, don't quit. Don't quit. Make a mistake. First of all, laugh at yourself because you're so dumb. Yes, you are. Just laugh. And then when somebody gets after you, say, I did it. Next one, I'm sorry. And the next words, I'll try not to do it again. But if I do, I'm sorry. Look at you people. Look at yourself. You are human beings. Human beings make mistakes. Shake your little pea-picking head. Make those little eyeballs just roll around a little bit. Do you like the, what do they call them things? Bobblehead, man. Just do the bobblehead, amen. We all make mistakes. We all have our problems. We all have our heartaches. We all go through stuff we don't want to go through. We all have to do things we don't want to do. Don't we? Well, lighten up. Give the guy a break. Give the gal a break. Ease up. Take it easy. Don't quit. Just keep on going. Just maybe that little boy sitting next to you is going to be the next preacher or next missionary or next evangelist or next school teacher or next police officer or school bus driver or banker or construction worker or heating and plumbing or mechanic. You don't know. But make it well enough that that child can be a good Christian. Hey, I don't know about you, but we need good Christian mechanics. Amen. And policemen and firemen and ambulance drivers. Mechanics and plumbers and heaters and nurses and doctors and lawyers. Maybe not. And we just need them. And good mommies. Good mommies. Hey, don't quit. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've given to us tonight. Lord, help us not to quit. Help us remember our salvation. Help us remember the day we got saved. Help us remember that you're coming back. Help us, Lord Jesus, to remember that heaven, and help us not to disappoint people. Lord, we love you, and we call upon your name tonight to do great things for you. Lord, it was a great day tomorrow. May we serve you. Lord God, help us tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight, and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. How can I remember my salvation when I've never had one? My friend, please come to Jesus tonight. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and ask him to come to your heart. Quit your fighting it. Quit your holding back. This is the best time to get saved. Why don't you come tonight? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Don't ask everyone to stand. Everyone standing. You're here tonight and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I want to take care of that tonight. Why don't you come right now? Let's show you from the Word of God. I can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. You come right now. Are you saved?